This morning's public reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 20, beginning in verses 1 to 19. Luke, chapter 20, beginning with verses 1 down to verse 19. This is God's Word. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders, and spake unto him, saying, Tell us, by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? And he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say, Why then believe ye him not? But, and if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. And Jesus said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Then began he to speak to the people in parables. A certain man planted a vineyard, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen, that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him, and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also, and entreated him shamefully, and sent him away empty. And again he sent the third, and they wounded him also, and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be that they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of that vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy those husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. And he beheld them and said, What is it then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon the stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. Please be seated. Beloved, we hear so much today, especially from our dispensational premillennial brethren, in their particular eschatology, that we're now simply waiting for a rapture. God's going to come, or Christ is going to come, and he's going to whisk us away. And then there's going to be a seven-year period of time that they call Jacob's trouble, which they lift from the scriptures. And they assign Jacob's trouble to this future seven-year tribulational period in order to fulfill Daniel's 490-year prophecy that's found in Daniel chapter 9. Unfortunately, the same brethren, when they read the same passage that I read publicly to you, have failed to make the connection on what Jesus here was talking about. Okay? Now, quickly, the first part of our reading, the religious leaders come to him, and at this point, as he's nearing the end of his public ministry and the end of his life, they come up with the question, by who or by what authority are you doing all these things that we hear about? And notice how Jesus turns the tables. They ask a question, but before he even answers their question, he poses to them a question. And that question is found in verse 4. He now asks them, before I give you an answer to your question, answer this question. John the Baptist, was his authority from heaven, literally from God, or was it from men? Did John appoint himself arbitrarily, or did somebody else on earth appoint him? Then they seem to have a little huddle, like you do in football, verses 5, 6, and 7. They kind of go off to the side. And these people are not always as stupid as they come across. They realize that they're now in a dilemma. If they come back and say, well, we believe that John the Baptist, his authority came from God, then Jesus is going to come right back and say, then why do you question me? I'm telling you that my authority was given to me by my Father to give you my Father's words, but you reject them. On the other hand, if they were really bold and in public, and apparently this was not said in some back office behind a closed door, this was said in an open area there in the temple. If we say that John the Baptist was of men, we're going to have a riot because the people hold him in high regard. They automatically assign John the Baptist a God-appointed prophet. And so they come back and they tell him, we don't know how to give you an answer. And then Jesus says, well, guess what? I'm not going to answer your question. So what does that teach us? Listen carefully, dear Christian friend. There may be times and seasons when you are posed a question and you can remain silent with the answer. Jesus did not give an answer, did he? Now, he gave answers on other occasions. Matter of fact, he normally answered a whole lot of their questions before they asked the question. But in this case, Jesus says, well, I'm under no obligation to give you an answer. And sometimes, based on the setting and the context, but you have to remember, who is he dealing with? He's not dealing with Nicodemus. He's not dealing with the woman at the well. He's not dealing with Zacchaeus. He's not dealing with the woman caught in adultery. You get where I'm going? There seems to be a certain kind of individual. The kind of individual who really doesn't want an answer, let alone learn the answer. They're out there simply to trap you, to catch you in your words, to find something wrong with your answer so they can run with that. In this case here, what would have happened if Jesus did say, my authority came from God my Father? What would have happened? It possibly would have been a riot, rock-throwing contest. Jesus simply remained silent. But he gives them a parable. And if you look at the parable carefully, he does give the answer. If they were wise enough to see where the answer lies. He talks about a vineyard. And those of you that are not familiar with this particular parable, you got to read Isaiah chapter 5. Put Isaiah chapter 5 off to the side. And you need to read Isaiah chapter 5, where Isaiah tells us that the vineyard spoken of, not only here in Luke 20, but in Isaiah 5, is the nation of Israel. So Israel is not known as a fig tree, as many would like us to believe. Jesus uses the vineyard, the picture of a vineyard, to picture Israel. Well, he talks about a certain man who plants a vineyard. Well, the man is God the Father in the parable. And he lets it out to husbandmen. These would be the religious leaders who had the religious responsibility of teaching and nurturing God's people. And then he went off into a long journey. Now, this can be likened to the 400 years of silence between the closing out of Malachi and the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, that 400 years of silence. At the season, he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard, but the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. Now, there are those who take the position that these individuals, these servants that are being sent, on a regular basis are the Old Testament prophets. Okay? The Old Testament prophets. And God would send an Isaiah, an Ezekiel, a Daniel, an Amos, a Jonah, a Micah, a Zechariah, a Haggai, a Joel, to see how the nation was doing. And if need be, in many instances, cry out against their sins and to admonish men to repent and return to the Lord and to put away their idols and their idolatry. Now the fruit is what God expects, something in return. God made a covenant with Israel. He blessed them. He gave them the land. He gave them a land flowing with milk and honey, where out of the ground you could take iron ore and copper and tin and whatever you can. He gave them a stretch of land that was fruitful and full of bounty. And all that he wanted was their reciprocation. He wanted their worship. He wanted their homage. He wanted their fear. He wanted their obedience to the covenant. That's fruit. Well, when the prophets did come, one after another, verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, Israel's response to God's prophets was either one, blow them away, meaning just simply blow off the message, turn their backs, stiffen their necks, pull the shoulder away, or in some instances, stone them, or cut them in half, or burn them. Whatever choice, whatever method you chose. Well, then by verse 13, we come to the coming of Messiah. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? They've gotten rid of all my prophets that I've sent to them. They've simply blown off their message. They have refused to repent. They're hanging on to their idols. I know. I will send my beloved son. That's Jesus. Now, going back to what I said a few moments ago, they asked him, by what authority do you do these things? This is where he gives them the answer. But I bet they were too blind. This is the answer to their question. By what authority? Well, he had his father's authority, who sent him. It may be that they will reverence him when they shall see him. Well, what happened, by and large, with the religious establishment, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea being the exception, what happened? What did the religious establishment do? But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. Crucify him, crucify him, that the inheritance may be ours. Now, because of time, I want you to cross-reference where it says the inheritance may be ours. I want you to cross-reference right now, and you can read this later, John's Gospel, chapter 11. John's Gospel, chapter 11. Oh, come on, Bob. Oh, okay. John chapter 11, verses 47 to 52. Cross-reference John chapter 11, verses 47 to 52. And that is where you're going to find the reference to their statement, the inheritance may be ours. They were concerned that Jesus Christ would force the Romans to eventually come in, take away their kingdom, take away their power, take away the hold that they had on the people. That was their concern. All right? Now, going back to the parable, notice verse 15, and this ought to make all the sense. So they cast him out of the vineyard. We are told that a prophet cannot be killed in the city. You have to be taken outside the city. They dragged Stephen outside the walls of the city, and that's where they stoned him. Jesus was not crucified in the city proper. He was taken outside of the city and crucified. So he was taken outside of the vineyard and killed. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? And notice what Jesus said. This is his words. He shall come and destroy the husbandman and shall give the vineyard to others. That's 70 AD. The city and the temple of Jerusalem were destroyed, and that vineyard was given to another people, the Gentiles. The church, who is composed of saved Jews and Gentiles, who are called out of this world and are placed into the kingdom of God. Notice their response, God forbid. And then Jesus quotes Isaiah chapter 8, verse 15. He tells them that what is about to occur to them is because of this. What is this then, as it's written? The stone, which is Christ, which the builders rejected, that's the religious system of Israel, the same has become the head of the corner, head of the church. Whosoever shall fall upon the stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. It shall destroy him. And that's 70 AD. And then notice, the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him. Why? Well, they feared the people, number one. And number two, they understood, they perceived that the parable was about them. Not modern day Israel. Not the Israel of 1948. No, no. We're talking about the Israel standing in 30 AD, and 40 years later, Jesus did come in a judgment and destroy them, just as he said in verse 16. That was fulfilled in AD 70. Now, some people go ballistic when they hear that, but that's exactly what it says. And if those of you that are championing on a literal interpretation, I gave you as literal as it can be. The Pharisees understood exactly what Jesus was saying, that their days were numbered, and they were. May the Lord bless his word.